be seated. This morning we are on in a new series, Christian Living series called Discovering Your Destiny. Discovering Your Destiny. We shortened the title of this series. This series is talking about how to find God's will in your life. And I believe that all of us desire to do God's will in our life. All of us want to fulfill what God has planned for us even before we are born again. So the official title in this series is How to Find God's Will in Our Lives. But discovering your destiny sounds very modern. So that's what we're calling this series. And as we look at discovering our destiny or finding God's will in our life, one of the things that we need to discover in order to do what God wants us to do, wherever we are now as we hear this word, as we come to a realization that our life is not our own, that our life is just to do God's will, we're all concerned about what to do next, what to do now, and what to do next. What is our present and what is our future? But in order to discover our future, we need to look at patterns of God's dealing in our lives. So many times people struggle, I cannot hear God, I find it hard to hear God. Let me tell you this, God has been speaking. It's not that He has not been speaking, except that He may not speak in the way we expect Him, and He might not be dealing us in the avenue that we thought He would. But God has been dealing with every single one of our lives from the day that we were born into this planet. And to discover our future, we need to discover the patterns of God working in our life, in our past. And what are those patterns? First of all, everything that God wants you to do in the future, and of course in the present time, has always been something that God knows about you before you and I were born into this earth. Before we even could utter a single word in this planet, or before we even breath our first breath, God has already written His destiny and His plan for us up above. And based on the plan that He has for our lives, He apportioned to each one of us the amount of different abilities, giftings, talents that He wants us to have to fulfill His plan. Now, that doesn't mean that for eternity you're limited to those talents and gifts. That just means that for this planet Earth, you could have those equipment in order to fulfill it. But when you get back to heaven in eternity, you can have whatsoever you desire. That means that if it's not God's will for you to be a singer, a worshipper in Him, by the way, your singing is not bad too. And you sing like a frog here, it doesn't mean that when you get back to heaven, you have to enter the frog section of the choir in heaven. Because there are no frog sections. Because there are no human frogs. Even in heaven, the frogs don't croak. I mean, they are animals in heaven, so I presume they're amphibians too. Because in heaven, all the animals could speak back like in the Garden of Eden. And you'll find that you could sing in a way you never sang before. It is just like it is not your will, His will for you to fulfill that. Because this life is very limited. How much can you do in this life? Not much. And He just wants you to concentrate on those certain areas. And don't worry if you find you can't sing in those areas, because you have good company in many great men of God. One among them is Kenneth Hagin. If you hear one of his sermons where he talks about his singing, he says he could exercise faith in any area. And then he even went to take classes. And even his teacher told him never to come back again. But he is one of the greatest, you know, men of God that God has raised. And so remember that whatever your limitations are in this life, they are not the same limitations up in heaven. We are only given sufficient to do what we need to do in this life and get on with it. And so we need to look for patterns in our past in order to find patterns for the future. Let me give an example here in the book of Genesis. Turn with me to Genesis and you look at the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph, we all know his story very well, and Joseph ended up one of the principal rulers in Egypt under Pharaoh. In fact, he was the right-hand man of Pharaoh, and he was a great administrator. He was a great leader, a great organizer. So we know that when he was doing those things that he needed to do and God destined him to do, that he showed forth the most powerful and brightest gift in his time. But let's look at him from the beginning, before he discovered his destiny, in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. And chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they heard him even more. They hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamt. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamt still another dream, and told it to his brothers, and said, "Look, I have dreamt another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamt? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. So Joseph had a glimpse of his destiny, a bright and powerful shining destiny. He was indeed to be a mighty ruler. And indeed, in Egypt, and remember, in those days the laws were different from our modern democratic laws where we have human rights, because in those days most of the countries were run by monarchies, and the king's word was life and death, and there was no other trial, just the king's word. And Joseph had many people when he was in his prime position, when they come, they had to bow down before him. And in fact, if anyone displeases him or Pharaoh, they could die immediately. There's no other trial, no other jury. You just immediately are sentenced. And that was how much power they had in those days. And so we have here in the book of Genesis 37 that as he glimpsed a little bit of his future, everybody didn't understand. I think even Joseph didn't understand where he was going. And here he was at a young age of 17. He was only 17 years old. And he has no idea what his future is like. Now, if you all know the story, at the age of 30, he stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made him the main ruler, or the main prime minister under him. That was 13 years later. How was Joseph to know that 13 years later, he was going to stand and be the top man in the whole of Egypt, where the lives of millions would depend on him? Can you imagine that? In 13 years, when the age of 30, right on, millions of lives are going to depend on his organization and his planning. I believe Jesus is going to come soon. But can you imagine where every one of us are going to be in 15 years' time? In 15 years from now, will some of us be in the position where the lives of many, sometimes spiritual lives, like a darkness, who knows, could be physical life, depend on you? Who knows? But here is Joseph, just about to discover his destiny. Like all humans, we desire a path where the graph just goes upwards. Like all humans, we always say that the way ahead is up, up, and away! Or at least one step, and then the next step is higher than the previous one step at a time. Life has never been that way. Life has never been that way. And there were some things that God has to train Joseph. There were patterns in his life that if you look carefully, God had to train him. And so, we all know that immediately after that, he was sold by his brothers to be a slave. Forsaken and everything that he had. Right? He came from a rich family, a good home, a loving environment. And suddenly, at the end of chapter 37, in one chapter, he was reduced to nothing. And in society, there's no other place lower. I mean, it's lower than even being poor and a pauper. Being a slave. Because as a slave, you don't even own your body. At least, if a person is poor, their life is there still. They just don't have enough. But when you're a slave, your wife, your family, your sons don't even belong to you. Your physical body don't belong to you. You cannot even decide what time to get up and what time to sleep. If he so determines a master and if he's a cruel one, and he decides that you can only sleep 2 hours, you sleep 2 hours. You are just a piece of property. Like a dog. Although today's dog is a bit privileged. Right? So you can't quite say it's a dog's life. Right? And so there he is. He started as a slave. And you notice the pattern beginning. Now notice, a pattern began in his life. Chapter 39 of Genesis. Verse 1 to 4. You notice a pattern. 1 to 5, Genesis 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and served him, Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. Now notice a pattern in verse 5.